This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
510 DGS. Less than 100 tickets left for DGS Live. It is 1 week from tomorrow. Let me check my phone. Dave Murray's going to hate this. It shouldn't matter what the weather's like.
Especially since you didn't give him an opportunity to do the weather.
Oh my gosh. Sunny and 82 next Thursday. Come on.
Ooh. Nice.
Beautiful spring day. Doors are at 6:30 p.m. at the gorgeous Sheldon. Stained glass windows streaming in the evening sun. The bar, gorgeous.
Art gallery.
As soon as the doors are open, you can go pick your seat. That always makes me laugh. Yeah, $20. Come on. 100 tickets left.
Come on.
So today, instead of having a paranormal guest, you're going to be our guest. So if we in the studio have stories, which I know Tony and I do from the 18 years of the DGS Halloween show, but give us a call at 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. If you have a pretty good ghost story to tell, Bigfoot sighting, witches, anything paranormal, UFO sightings, man, I love those. Anything at all, 314-241-9797.
They're not calling.
And now we play the waiting game.
Yeah, and we're not going to say anything until you guys call. So
some of the Facebook feedback was interesting. Is that where you put it, Rachel? Did I see that on Twitter? Where did I see it?
It was on Facebook.
Yeah, some of the stories there were like, what?
You guys ever, I once thought I saw a UFO. Mm. It turned out not to be. It turned out to be an IFO. But for like 20 or 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was during the day, driving down to the studio, 10 a.m., bright sunny day. And I forget what it was. I think it was just like one of those really shiny old planes, yep, like a World War II plane. But it was just hanging there,
mm-hmm,
all bright and silvery and cigar shaped.
And not making any sense.
Not making any sense. And it's one of those where this happens like whether you hear something in the basement or you see something in the yard where you're like, okay, is this happening? It's still happening. It's not better. I still see it. I still hear it. And like you really, that's the way for people who truly believe they've seen like a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
The way they describe it. Like it changed my life.
I have never had that personal experience, but those are my favorite type of stories to look up, like the Phoenix Lights that so many people have seen and experienced, and there is no good answer for what they are. There's a really famous story about an Australian pilot who his last, you can even look up the transcripts of the of him talking to the tower, and he disappeared, and he's like describing what he's seeing to the tower. The ones that were just released by the Navy.
Where they're laughing.
These F-18 Navy pilots. It's not like, these aren't screwballs.
Right.
These are Navy pilots tracking these things on radar saying, what in the heck is this? We've never seen anything like, look at that thing go. And they're loving it.
Yes.
They're like, look how fast it's going. Look at this. And then there'd be another one. Explain it.
Yeah.
Explain it.
Have you ever seen, this has been 20 years ago, Discovery Channel or TLC or whoever did a really great special on the black triangle that flew over like Belleville and Scott Air Force Base.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever seen that one? That's one of the best UFO sightings of all time.
Yeah.
It was seen by like multiple cops, mm-hmm, you know, multiple people. I mean, it had to be government. It just had to be, oh my God, we let this Zeppelin get, you know, 100 feet off the ground or whatever it is. But yeah, like cops were like, okay, it's coming your way. Here it comes. There it is. There it goes. And it was like a 3-story black triangle wedge with windows that was moving silently on a path like over Dupo and Belleville and then downtown and just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think that would be something from Scott Air Force Base?
You would think so. And of course they said no, but what are they going to say?
Right? I mean that they're testing out.
You found our classified thing.
Yeah. Oopsie.
That's a really good one though.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Phoenix Lights. Come on.
Right.
What? We're looking at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Nobody can explain it.
Don't be so stupid as to
There's hundreds of videos of it. It's not one or two crackpots just making something up.
Let's talk to Guy. Hi, Guy. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Try to make it fast. We had moved, this is 32 years ago, we moved from a house that was originally my grandma and grandpa's, where my grandma died. And I preface this all by saying, you know, that we're kind of psychic, you know, some of the relatives in the family. As we moved to this brand new house, my daughter is 3 years old at the time, always kept talking about grandma in her room. And nobody, you know, never made a big deal out of it. So all of a sudden, one night, she got bit by grandma in her room. And she's showing me, it's just me and her. She had this spot card. I called my aunt, said, look, how do I get rid of grandma in the room? And she's telling me I had to yell out, in the name of God, be gone with you and all this. Well, I had my daughter in my arms. And why, I don't know, but I had a wiffle ball bat in my other hand. And I'm chanting this out as I'm yelling this stuff out. My daughter is trying to put her hands over my mouth. Now, she's only like between 3 and 4, and she's trying to put her hands over my mouth, telling me not to say it and everything. And then all of a sudden, I swear, it was like ice went through me, and she looked at me and she goes, she's gone. Just like that.
Wow.
Wow.
Never had grandma in her room again. But she always talked about, you know, look at her teeth. Whenever she told her, and when she was telling me about grandma being there, she goes, can't you see her? And she was pointing up in the, you know, like in the living room wall, you know. And I go, no, I can't see her, you know. She goes, she's right there. Look at her teeth. Always kept saying, look at her teeth. And never really thought nothing of it. But, you know, she got bit. And she had like a little bite mark on her finger, you know.
Guy, thank you for ensuring I will not sleep tonight.
Yeah. That's great.
Grandma biting a 3-year-old, that's terrifying. Thank you, Guy.
I don't want to do any more paranormal calls now.
Yeah, let's talk about the abortion law or something fun.
That was enough.
That'd be a blast.
Look at her teeth.
Whew. One that that's not mine, but my dad, who did not... This was not Dino style to talk about ghost or believing.
Known for the paranormal.
No, he is not known for the paranormal. The house that we lived in when I was like between 8 and 15, and that's where I swear I saw something once too, but I was a little kid and it was the middle of the night and your mind plays tricks on you. He told a story only a couple of times about being in the living room and seeing a kid sitting on the couch who he thought was me. He called my name. The kid turned around, looked at him. It wasn't me. And then he disappeared.
Whoa.
And he's not that guy. He's not the I'm going to tell a ghost story guy at all, but he swore that happened.
The man's name is Dino. Dinos are not
Dinos
into the
don't
paranormal.
Make up. Exactly.
Yes.
We have great calls. When I was a kid, a blue orb zipped around my house. I saw a UFO on Highway 55 in the 70s. I saw a canine-type creature on Highway 44. And
Chupacabra.
Yeah, Rob says, I do service work at a possession site. The owner cut the wires at the floor, and you can hear things. Hello, Rob.
Hey, I'm a fireman, and of course, like all good firemen, we always have a second job. I'm a service tech. We go over to a place called the Castle. That's where the ending of the exorcism took place.
Ooh.
And the fifth floor is unoccupied, and the tools were evidently left up there from the last guy. The company went up there. The guy got scared and left them up there. It's absolutely true that the elevator is cut off. It doesn't go up to the fifth floor. We have the coin op stuff there, and I was going up, and once in a while, it would go all the way up to the fifth floor, and it would open, and I'd forget off. But I go to the end of the hallways on the fourth floor, and I can hear furniture moving around upstairs. And one of our guys is walking down the hallway. He had his ear back of his head touched when he was walking down the hallway. And the hallways are, like, long, and there's, like, no other doors down the hallway down there. And, you know, it just, you know I was kind of, like, on the fence, but my family's nursing home.
we had a haunted horse in a carriage house down in Nollis in Westminster. But no, we went up there, and yeah, the guys told me about it when I first hired in. I was like, ah, nah, you're full of BS. And sure enough, I went to the fifth floor, didn't think anything about it, and I said, nobody there, a bunch of tools, went back in. And the security guard met up on the fourth floor, and he goes, oh, how'd you get to the fifth floor? You saw it in the camera. I said, the elevator went up. It can't. They cut it off the wires. They can't go up there. That's what it did.
Wow.
Whoa.
So
at the end of the hallway, and all of a sudden you hear the door slam above us, and you hear like boom, 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 and you hear like this countertop being dragged across the floor. And I said, what the hell is that going up there? He goes, there's nothing up there. And it's like, okay.
Rob, where was that?
We call it the castle. I play for the St. Louis Gaelic Athletic Club. We play in the fields over there by Robertson. It's right on Rock Road down there. I'm trying to think where it is down there. Huh. It's right here. It's the back of Umsel. But you can see it from Rock Road.
Okay.
It looks like a giant medieval castle.
Okay, so it's really close to where the Exorcist house is then.
Yeah, but they've turned it into like housing, and they have like cleaning up stuff on the floors.
Yeah.
But the fifth floor, they've tried numerous times to renovate it, but it never kind of like completed.
Wow. Thank you, Rob. yeah, I'm going to talk to the guys from Astonishing Legends and see if I can talk them into doing an Exorcist House episode, which would be right up their alley. And
I don't think that'll take a lot of convincing.
Yeah. I wonder if our friend still owns it. I'd heard that it was up for sale.
I think it's up for sale. Yeah, someone sent an email a couple weeks ago saying you should buy it.
Maybe that's what I'll do for the poor.
Yeah. Just what they need.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
530 DGS, taking your paranormal phone calls, 314-241-9797, and your tweets and Facebook, anything online we want to share, any stories?
Just about this Cape Girardeau thing that I'm just learning about. People have tweeted about the Cape Girardeau crash that happened before Roswell, and I looked it up, and...
Wow, before Roswell?
Yeah, that's... The Cape Girardeau one, it was in 1941.
Which the very basic of it...
There's one here that...
Like, do they recover stuff?
In 1941, Reverend William Huffman of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, was called by the local sheriff to come and assist in delivering some sort of last rites at a plane crash. When Huffman arrived at the scene, he realized that it was not a plane, but rather the classic silver flying saucer with multiple dead bodies on the scene, which appeared to be extraterrestrial. UFO researcher Leonard Stringfield, who heavily researched the case, says that near the scene, the saucer crashed. There was three bodies. Anyway, and then the authorities show up and tell people, don't tell anybody and take it all away. And there's a book that you can buy on Amazon. The local news station in Cape Girardeau did a story a couple of years ago on the 75th anniversary of the reported crash. And there's a big, long report from them on it.
I never heard of it. It's amazing.
I'm going to look into it now.
Pardon me.
I have Jamie on Twitter says, I used to live in a house that a guy died in. I didn't find that out until my three-year-old niece kept crying out in the night, speaking about spirits and saying, Charlie doesn't like it when people fight. I went to the library and looked through decades of microfilm. The place was an undertaker service from the 1770s. I saw so much crap in that house that I broke the lease one night after a door slammed behind me and a man said my name. I would have broken my lease as soon as Charlie came up.
Funeral homes, undertakers, like, come on. I mean, even if you don't believe in, like, the classic ghosts, just, like, residual... That many deaths and that much grieving, and it's got to leave something, don't you think?
Yeah. How do you become an undertaker? Like, how do you reach that point?
You mean back then?
No, I just mean, like, do you dream about it as a child?
I think a lot of it's family.
A lot of them are family businesses.
A lot of them are family businesses.
Yeah.
But then there are some people, I've met people who are just like, I just have always been fascinated with it. That's what I want to do. I feel about morticians the way I feel about doctors. If you can do it, you should do it.
Yeah.
Because I can do it. I'm not embalming grandma.
I met a lady recently who her job was to get the dead body from wherever
go get it
was. I don't know what the name of that job is, but I was like, I just
dead body getter.
I had to ask her so many questions, and you know, because there's so many situations that come up that you're like, what's the normal one? Mm-hmm. What's the really bad one? You know?
Yeah.
And it's
they usually just show up in a very plain looking minivan.
It's no frills and there's no science to it or anything. It's just like, we're just gonna pick up this dead body. They pick it up.
What did she say was the worst?
She said, in general, the worst is when you have to pick up a kid.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be awful.
Of course, makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not the question I was asking. I was asking, what's the worst type of death? And she said, the worst is suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, because the person is alone and you don't know that it's happened for a few days.
Yeah.
And then it makes things even harder. And depending on the type of suicide, too, of course.
Right. Angela, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
I've got a true story, real, occurred when I was 13. I had watched the movie The Exorcist while I was babysitting, and about a week later, it kept coming to my mind, and about a week later, I went to sleep. I believe I had woken up at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, but I was actually maybe still asleep, I don't know, but I felt my bed go down, like something was sitting in the bed with me. And I blacked out, whatever it is, climbed into my body, and I took off across the room. My parents' door was shut completely. I somehow pounded on the door, and it opened. My mom doesn't know how I did it because it was locked. I jumped in my bed. I jumped in their bed with my mom and my dad. I grabbed my mom, and in my head, I don't really know whether or not I was doing this or not, but in my head, I was cussing at her and squeezing her really hard. And when I opened my eyes, the lights were on. My parents were both standing at the end of the bed, staring at me. They were completely scared out of their mind. And my mom said, "Angie, what, are you okay?" Well, for the next 2 weeks, I was having I wasn't in control of my body. Like, I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. I had to go into the hospital for about 3 months. It was terrible. It's still in my mind, and I am 50 plus years old, and it still comes to my mind when I go to bed at night. So, I'm scared something's going to take me again.
Angie, was there any sort of religious intervention, like in the classic exorcism?
We actually went into church. I'm Catholic, and we did go into church, and we talked to a couple of the priests there. I went in. Everything was fine. Nothing happened. I didn't light on fire. The priest said, "Angie, if you were really possessed, you wouldn't be able to walk in this church." But the whole time I was there, I kept getting up and going to the bathroom, looking in the mirror, and what I was seeing was not myself. I was seeing a very scary looking face looking back at me.
Angie, how has that affected? Do you watch scary movies like that now? Do they have that kind of did that scar you?
Never.
I mean, obviously,
I will watch all different kind of movies that are, you know, scary, like Jason and, you know, other type of scary. I will never, ever watch anything with the exorcism in them, ever, because I'm afraid that will all come back again.
Yeah.
When was the last time you really felt like there was something affecting you?
I promise that it will happen at least maybe once every year or two. I will have that feeling that will come over me again in the middle of the night. And I'll feel like something is trying to get to me. And all I do is say a lot of prayers to make it go away. I think some of the other folks that are joining today and talk is I say, "Please, God, please make whatever it is go away from me." And it does. But that was when I was 13, and I'm 53.
Wow. So, Angie, did you ever feel any sort of communication from this thing? Was there ever any sort of a, hey, look, I'm here. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what we're going to do. You're stuck with me. Was there any kind of relationship with it?
No, never. Just a very scary feeling, like something was bad. Something is bad that's around me. But never any communication or never any... nothing I've actually seen. I've just felt it. I can feel it.
God, that's horrific.
It's terrible. And the only thing I can do, you know, my mom and my dad know. And they said that a couple, like when I went into the hospital then for that period of time, my mom said that my room had a terrible, terrible odor as if something had, I don't know, died. And I said, are you kidding me? And she goes, no. I go, Mom, why did you try to tell me that nothing was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, well, honey, who wants to tell a 13-year-old that what you were feeling could possibly be something horrible?
So do you attribute it to watching the movie? Do you think that's what triggered it?
You know, it could have been. It definitely could have played on my mind. But, you know, how come something like that would follow you around your whole entire life? I mean, eventually it goes away, but it never really has.
I wonder if you just have such a sensitivity to it that watching the film, I don't know, like opened you up in a way.
It could have.
That wouldn't have someone else who wasn't as sensitive.
Probably so. And when you're in your teens, 13 and 14, you're really sensitive anyway. You're going through, you know, you're getting older, puberty, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. And so you're already really sensitive. And so I attribute it to that, and the doctor did as well. But in the back of my mind, I still can't convince myself that there wasn't something and isn't something that continues to follow me around.
Yeah, especially when you still feel it once a year up until this very day. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's
just reaffirmed my decision to never watch The Exorcist.
Thank you. Me neither.
Honestly, it's the one movie. The special effects are laughable. It's so stupid. That movie is evil.
Yeah.
If I could, honestly, I would write a check for $25,000. I'm not kidding. To get that out of my brain.
Wow.
I wish I'd never watched it.
Well, when Angie said it just kept coming to her mind, like, it's one thing to be scared by something, it's one thing to be affected by something, but when you can't get it out of your brain, and I've just heard of so many people having that experience with that film, I will never watch it.
And that's the thing, it's like I said, I think a lot of people your age watch it now and go, are you kidding me? That pea green soup looks so dumb. It's not the effects.
Right.
It's something, it's the subtlety.
I think the movie still does a good job to this day with that subtlety stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Because I think it knew that they couldn't do the special effects back then.
Father Karras, who's so close to his mother, and he's having these visions and these horrible nightmares. And the demon's telling them that your mother's down here with us. And do you remember the scene where his mother is walking down into the subway station and you just know that's a metaphor for hell?
Yep.
God.
Yep.
Shit. I'm getting chills right now. Just, Okay, we have to take a break. Betty, Dave, Jill, Carla, Mark, we'll get to all of you, but we'll get to some of you after this. Thanks for holding on. Quick break. DGS Paranormal Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. 548 DGS Paranormal Wednesday. Pardon me. Today we opened it up to your calls, and you have not disappointed. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Tony got one on Twitter.
Yeah. Scotty says, first duty station was in Germany in 1992. The barracks were pre-World War II. Sleeping in my bed, I woke up, and an old evil woman was looking at me and vanished. I didn't tell a soul. A week later, a friend came running out of... And then I got to click to the next tweet. Running out of his room screaming, saying an old woman was trying to kill him and disappeared. I can still picture that face today, and it gives me chills.
Kevin also has a story from the castle that Rob was talking about earlier. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
All right. Here's the story that I know. Okay. I was a police officer, am. But years ago, I used to work down in that area, and it's down in the area of St. Charles Rock Road in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly. It used to be St. Vincent's Asylum, and it is. It looks like a great big old Victorian-looking castle. They had shut it down. It's on the same properties, if you're familiar with UMSL, as the Marillac campus. So it's the backside of the campus, and there's old cemetery or an old chapel where all the priests and the nuns are buried there. So it's kind of a spooky looking environment anyway. So they turned it into, while I was working in that area, they were turning it into apartments. But yeah, the fifth floor, supposedly, they don't go up in it, they don't use it. But my own personal story was that I decided one afternoon after they'd closed it down and they were busy demolishing it or remodeling it, I thought I'd go in. It's Sunday afternoon. It's nice and quiet. Nothing's happening. So I walked in, and you just immediately, when you walk through the big front doors into this big hallway, you just got that spooky sense about what's going on, and you feel that. You see the scary old shows or the scary movies where it's just got this kind of like this soft whispering wind that blows through the hallways. And that was the immediate sensation that I felt when I walked into the building. And it's like every corner I rounded, it was like I felt eyes watching me.
Wow.
So I'm like, I'm not going any higher. I've heard stories about the guys that have tried to go up into the fifth floor after this place shut down, and they say it's just, they can't do it. And I'm talking cops.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go up there. So I thought, you know what, this is kind of a interesting building. So I grabbed a brick from, like, the demolition pile that was inside the building, and I thought, I'm going to take this as a souvenir. I took that thing home, and about 3 days, it just kept, I'd look at that brick every time I saw it. It was like, there's just something not right. So I took that brick when I went back to work the next time, and I threw that into the building and ran out, and I never went back to the building again. It was just something about the place.
Man, good story. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for what you do as a cop. Tony, you remember this? This had to be 15 years ago. We had a fan. I'm sure he's way moved on by now, but he was a security guard, maybe even a student security guard at St. Lucie, Verhagen Hall.
Yeah.
And I think it's the third or fourth floor at Verhagen Hall where some of the exorcism took place.
Yep.
And it's shut down. It's closed up. And he snuck in there for us.
Yep.
And he took pictures.
Yep.
And it was just like blowing leaves and cracked glass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this otherwise beautiful office building.
Right.
It was nuts. Here's a story. I think I have time to tell it. I have this somewhere. 2002, probably, someone sent me a copy of a letter that their uncle wrote in like 1957. And it was the old Alexian brothers, I believe.
Yeah.
And he left this to her in his will. And it's like a 10-page handwritten letter from her uncle. And basically, her uncle was in a custodial service at, I think it's Alexian brothers, where this kid was.
That's right.
And his story was, and again, I'll try and find it. His story was that someone was outside this room that was locked. You never go in this room. It's where the kid was. And he was trying to change the light bulb. And he came downstairs and said to her uncle, who was a big 6'4" World War II vet, something growled at me from that room. I'm not going back. And so her uncle basically called him a puss and said, I'll go do it. And so he went up there, feeling kind of creepy, climbed the ladder that was still there, changing the light bulb, and something from inside that room said his name.
Yep.
His name was like Oscar. And it like just said like, and he said it was the most matter-of-fact, like, Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And he got down, and he went down, and he quit.
Whoa!
And he wrote it all down for her and left it in his will. Because he didn't want anyone to know while he was alive. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. I remember, yeah. Well, I mean, there was so much about that. Like that, they closed that part of the building at SLU. They closed that, I think, not just the room, but didn't they close the whole hall in the hospital for the like, you don't just do that.
Yeah.
It's very
inefficient.
Yeah, the
Catholic Church is real sketchy about talking about it.
Yeah.
But they've certainly gone to really great lengths to cover it, not cover it up like a conspiracy, but just like...
Close it off.
Close it off.
You don't just quit using a room in a hospital for years because of a superstition.
Mm-hmm.
When you need space and you need, you know, and that can be a valuable resource. If something's not
talk about
really weird.
Going down a hole. I went down it about 10 years ago. You can find everything about this kid. I think his name's Robbie.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he came from Maryland, and they brought him here because the word St. Louis showed up scratched on his arm, and they stayed with his aunt and uncle. That's where the exorcist house is. And then he once it was done, he went on to be an engineer and wrote scholarly papers and had patents.
And I don't think he has memory of any
of it. He says he doesn't. Only one person ever found him. And they called and said, is this Robbie, whatever his name was? And he said, yes. And he had a big, deep voice. Are you the little boy from the exorcism? And he said, yes. And I don't want to talk about it, and hung up. And it's the only time I've ever heard documented that anyone ever actually talked to this kid. But evidently, he was never squirrely again. Like, it just ended.
Yep.
And then he went on to be married and have a normal life. Yeah.
Is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.